Today in our church year, we celebrate the baptism of Jesus. And it's good to remind us of our baptism and our entrance into the church, but as one of the sacraments, that's the gateway. But we look at John the Baptist, who was preparing the hearts of the people of Israel for the coming of Christ. He was preparing them to be open to receiving the words and the gift of salvation from Jesus, the Messiah. And John was a very articulate and robust speaker, and many people thought he was the Messiah. In fact, he was the last great prophet, and the prophet before him was over three centuries earlier. So the people of Israel were hungry to hear the words of the Lord, and they were hungry to receive Christ. In fact, John was such a charismatic speaker that even King Herod was threatened by him and had him thrown in jail because he was afraid of rioting and having his country overthrown because of the message of John the Baptist. And even after Christ died, for the first 100 years, there was disciples of John the Baptist who continued his mission of redemption and baptism, to come forward, to be redeemed of our sins, and also preached on the necessity of our baptism. In fact, Christ even called him one of the greatest. Jesus in the Gospels calls John the Baptist the greatest of men and women. You see, John was a very humble man, and he didn't let any of this get to his head, because he always was reminding the people, "One greater than I is coming. I am not even worthy to unfasten his sandal." You see, in the time of Christ, everyone wore sandals. They did not wear any socks under their sandals. So when they're walking around the town and their countryside during the day, doing their work or going to the marketplace, they would walk on dirty, dusty, and muddy roads. They weren't paved or cemented like ours today. And on those roads were mercantile men and women taking their goods to the market. And what was pulling their carts was oxen and pack animals. So you know what the roads were littered with: manure. Manure everywhere. And they, no matter where they stepped, you'd be stepping in manure. You couldn't avoid it. So by the end of the day, your feet were smelly and dirty. And who would clean them when you came home but the slave of the house? The slave of the house would wash the master's feet and those of the household and the guests. And that's what John was saying. Not even I am worthy to be a slave, to unfasten and wash Jesus' feet. That I am not even that worthy. And there's a great lesson we can learn from John the Baptist, and that's of reverence. He recognizes Jesus and prepares the hearts of the people to receive Jesus, but he had great reverence for Jesus. We might ask ourselves, well, why does Jesus need to be baptized? Why did he get baptized? First of all, he's God, and he did not need to be baptized. But he took the sins of us, the fallen world, the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve who had fallen, and he desired for us to have eternal life. So he sanctified the waters with his baptism. He purified the waters so that we may have eternal life. In fact, if we attended baptism, one of the first questions the priest or deacon will say, "What do you desire for your child?" And the answer is salvation. And our salvation only comes through the gateway of baptism. The Lord said that he will be with us for all times, and he gave the church the 7 sacraments. Baptism is the gateway to the other sacraments, where we are called to be the children of God. Our parents bring us to baptism in thanking God for the gift of the child in their life, but they also return that gift of the child back to God, knowing that it is a gift for how many years that child is with them, knowing that the desire to have salvation for their child, that their child will live in harmony with the Lord and will grow in their love and reverence for the Lord, just as John the Baptist had for Jesus, his Messiah. And so another thing that we also get from our baptism is growing in friendship, isn't it? We grow in friendship with the Lord. The Lord desires us to continue to grow in our relationship with Him as long as we're here on earth. And it's an opportunity for us to celebrate all the sacraments, because Jesus gave them to the church, and we're the only Christian church that has the seven sacraments as a celebration of our life. See, because Christ said, "I will be with you always until the end of time." And He is. He comes to us in the sacrament of baptism, where He forgives our original sins and allows us to grow in union and communion with Him. But then we have all the different sacraments through the sacrament of anointing of the sick, where we come for healing, and sometimes it is the end of our lives, and we go to God in heaven. Because the Lord wants to be able to say to each of us, when we meet Him face to face, "I love you, you are my beloved daughter, you are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And through the sacrament of baptism, our original sin is removed, and we are open to receiving and to returning the love that God has for each of us. In fact, if Christ came to each of our houses today, we would all welcome Him, wouldn't we? We'd welcome Him to our houses. We would welcome Him to take part in our daily routine, in our chores, and to journey with us throughout the day. And the sacrament of baptism allows us to receive Jesus, the Son, our Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit that come into us and give us sanctifying grace to go on our life journey, growing in our faith, growing in our love of one another as a faith community, so that we can support each other and help each other on this earthly journey. So my challenge for each of us today is to think of one small way that we can incorporate growing in our relationship with the Lord, that our friendship with Him will grow this coming year. If we don't say grace before each meal, that's a small way we can incorporate Him more fully. Perhaps in the morning or in our commute to school or work, we could spend a few minutes just thanking the Lord and consecrating the day to Him. There's a lot of small ways that each of us can take opportunities to grow in our friendship and to continue to grow with Him throughout our journey each day. So that's my challenge and my prayer for each of us as the new year starts, that we'll take one small opportunity to incorporate the renewal of our baptism and to thank the Lord for the many gifts, the many opportunities that He gives to us each day, so that we may have our eyes wider opened and our hearts wider open to receive His sanctifying grace, to receive His love and His mercy in a more full and real way this coming year.